Snappy, snappy.
Yeah.
Healthy, smelty.
Yeah.
Healthy, smelty.
Yeah.
Hey there. Welcome to Healthy, Smelty, the fanciest, schmanciest public health podcast in the digital airwaves, coming to you live from my mouth into your ears. I'm Rishi B, and this episode is a brief look into dementia, what it is, associated factors, and some things that can help prevent it. This is the first in what will be a long series of behavioral health episodes. And later on, I'll also give a status update on the GOP's Affordable Care Act, aka Obamacare.
Repeal and replacement.
Trump Care. Where they at? No.
Where they at? No.
Before we start, full disclosure, I like to be open with all you guys. I have a master's of public health. Second disclosure, I work in the healthcare industry. And lastly, just because I'm opening up with you guys, I'll just let you know, I did wet my pants up until pretty late, seventh grade. I think that was around the last time. I got my act together, you guys. I got my pant wetting together. Hey, this isn't about my wet pants. Let's get into dementia. But before we get into it, a word. Diseases like dementia reduce a person to a husk of the person they once were. When things like this come up in conversation, for example, dementia or people being in a coma or being unresponsive due to some medical condition, when people talk about this in conversation, they say, just let me go. If that happens to me, if I'm a vegetable, just kill me. And to be honest, I was one of these people too. But then recently, I knew someone who passed away due to complications with dementia. And I can say, seeing what that person went through and seeing what that person's loved ones went through while that person was struggling, it's a lot different when you're talking about this kind of stuff in reality versus when you're talking about it in hypothetical. Now, just forgetting the legality of euthanasia, this isn't what this conversation is about. You know, even though a person is now a husk of what they once were, you know, if it's your grandfather, grandmother, sibling, whoever, parent, who's going through these kind of medical conditions, even though they're a husk of who they were, that person is still your loved one. You have some shared memories with that person, even if they can no longer remember them or act upon you telling them about those memories. So when we're talking about what we want done for ourselves, what we want done for our loved ones, I think it's important for everyone to understand what diseases like dementia do and what it feels like to have it. And conversely, for people who are going through the disease, I think it's also very important that they understand what impact caretaking or caring for a person who has this kind of disease, what that person is going through as well. Information is power. Let's talk about what dementia is. Before I started doing the research for this episode, you know, just to be real with you guys, I was just like, man, you know, dementia, Alzheimer's, not remembering things, that would be a great way to get out of arguments with the old lady. Am I right? But you know, it's a lot more serious than that. Let's get into dementia and what it can do and what its impacts are. So dementia and Alzheimer's are often confused together, but they are different. Dementia is a general term for a decline in mental ability, which is severe enough to interfere with daily life. So dementia is often incorrectly referred to as senility or senile dementia. And so this kind of connects to a common colloquial thought that dementia is just part of serious mental decline and it's just a normal part of aging. But it is a serious disease. There are things that you can do to prevent it. Just kind of putting it to old age is denying some of the things that you can do to help prevent it. So dementia is kind of a general term for decline. Alzheimer's is a specific type of dementia that causes memory loss and impairment in important mental functions. So although they're different, Alzheimer's makes up 60 to 80% of dementia cases, and Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States. So there are other types of dementia, which include vascular dementia, mixed dementia, something called frontotemporal lobar degeneration, acronymed as FTLD, and Lewy body dementia. Lewy is L-E-W-Y. So vascular dementia is considered the second most common form of dementia after Alzheimer's, and it usually results from injuries to vessels supplying blood to the brain, often after a stroke or a series of strokes. And actually, recent research has found that traumatic things that happen to a person's head or brain, any trauma that comes around the brain that would impact it, that's actually a serious thing that can lead to dementia-type diseases. In some cases, so there are different kinds of dementia, but in some cases, it's not known what type of dementia someone has, or if it's not a specific named disease at all. So the causes of dementia are not always known. I mean, some older people may be developing age-associated memory impairment, which is completely different from dementia. And actually, a study from Rutgers University estimated that roughly 4% of Americans between the ages of 65 and 74 have Alzheimer's, with the percentage raising steady. The same research estimates that roughly 50% of all Americans over 85 suffer with Alzheimer's, and that more than half of all dementia cases are misdiagnosed, and they are actually Alzheimer's. So this is something, when you research the subject, this is something that comes up a lot. There's still a lot of unknown with dementia and just in general behavioral health, which is part of the reason why I wanted to do these episodes on dementia and particularly focus on behavioral health. So in the news was the death of Robin Williams.
The hospital will cover all of your bills. Any other questions?
Patients are opening up to me, Corinne. They're sharing their dreams, their fantasies. They don't concentrate on the pain.
And so his death was attributed to Parkinson's at first. But later, an autopsy found he was suffering from what's called Lewy body dementia. Lewy body dementia involves misfolded protein deposits in the brain, which are referred to as Lewy bodies. But similar deposits in the brain are also found with Parkinson's disease. This is something that you'll read a lot about if you research behavioral health, that things are kind of attributed to bipolar disorder, but they're not actually bipolar disorder. And in this case, things are attributed to dementia or Alzheimer's, and they're misdiagnosed. So what are some signs that someone is going through dementia? So the first sign is mild cognitive impairment to heavy decline in cognitive ability. So what this means is pronounced memory loss and inability to recall things that happen within a day. And then you'll have sudden spurts of remembering specific things from the past. Cognitive impairment could be as simple as an inability to reason, or a more drastic decline in cognitive functions, such as thinking, learning, reading, retaining information, problem solving, language and speech. Clinical researchers at the New York University School of Medicine point out that not all individuals experience the same rate of cognitive decline. For instance, many in the early stages of dementia show no memory loss or decrease in decision-making abilities. Once again, there's a lot of unknown. There's a lot to be researched with dementia. So misdiagnoses or lack of a diagnosis does happen. The second sign of dementia is declining motor function. So you lose the physical ability to perform routine tasks, i.e. go to the washroom, drive to your grocery store, operate the stove, things like that. And eventually you'll need 24-hour care for your own safety. Third sign is disorientation. For instance, an individual with Alzheimer's suffers death of the nerve cells very gradually, even over a period of years, which causes them to struggle with thinking, decision-making, memory. And so that makes it very confusing and scary for them, and often causes them to withdraw from normal day-to-day life. So I think compassion is a big thing here. Just being able to put your shoes in someone who's struggling with this and not just reverting to anger that or frustration with someone who's going through this disorientation, because they're helpless and scared too. Another sign of dementia is behavioral changes. For example, someone becoming cranky when they're always easygoing, or vice versa, becoming very happy when they've always been a little grumpy, or just being inappropriate in public. These are signs that can signify the onset of dementia. Many families who have a relative with Alzheimer's actually almost always admit that the behavioral and psychiatric changes are the most challenging and disturbing aspect of the disease. Paranoia is another sign of dementia. Behavior that's characterized as paranoia and suspicious, particularly of others in cases where the patient has the aid of a caregiver, may spur from feelings that they are losing control. As a caregiver or a relative, these accusations can be extremely hurtful, which is why it's vital to keep in mind that the disease is causing this action. It's not the person themselves, you know, trying to be paranoid or being mistrustful. Another sign of dementia is disorganization. Difficulty with planning and organizing is a common early warning sign of dementia. For instance, an elderly person may suddenly have difficulty planning their grocery shopping. This is actually something that I hear a lot about colloquially from people who have people in their families suffering with dementia. A lot of times the early warning signs came from them going on a routine thing or doing something routine activity, and they weren't able to do that. Although the exact cause of Alzheimer's isn't totally clear, the disease damages and kills brain cells, leading to fewer cells and fewer healthy brain connections among surviving cells. Another sign is hallucinations. The perception of believing in false things, people, memories, details, and events. So it's important to keep in mind that a hallucination is not the same as a delusion. Because a hallucination actually involves senses. So people suffering, for example, with Alzheimer's can actually feel, hear, see, taste, or smell things that don't actually exist. Lastly, this is something that I've been reading about more recently. Inappropriate sexual actions. For instance, removing clothing, exposing oneself in public, or touching and saying tasteless things to strangers and caregivers. For instance, a patient may become sexually disinhibited, or aka bold, as damage becomes more severe in the brain's frontal and temporal lobes, which is the area that manages control response. Once again, this comes with a caregiver, healthcare provider's understanding of the disease, because it can be very frustrating, I imagine, dealing with someone who's displaying inappropriate sexual actions, displaying hallucinations, paranoia, things like that. But if you understand that it's coming from the disease and not this person, then that can help you in resolving these kind of issues. Two of the most common risk factors for Alzheimer's and dementia are age and genetics. In Alzheimer's, most individuals with it are 65 or older, and it's important to note that those who have a parent or sibling with Alzheimer's are more likely to develop it. The seven main risk factors for dementia and associated diseases are diabetes, hypertension, obesity, physical inactivity, depression, smoking, and low educational attainment. So who knew be cool, stay in school, was actually good for your health?
You gotta get an education, gotta go to school.
You gotta get it all together if you wanna make it pay. You gotta stay in school to graduation day. So be cool, stay in school.
So hopefully everyone listening to this follow that very healthy schmelty phrase. So while most changes in the brain that cause dementia are permanent and worsen over time, thinking and memory problems associated with the following conditions may improve. And these conditions are medication side effects, excess use of alcohol, thyroid problems, vitamin deficiencies, physical inactivity associated with diabetes, hypertension, obesity. So if you address those early on, that can actually help you in preventing dementia. The really important thing to keep in mind is just staying healthy can actually help a lot, because really a cause for dementia and its associated diseases have not been found yet. There's no real specific cause and there's no real specific cure. So exercise has been shown to increase blood flow and help connections between neurons, which is important with cognitive functioning. Cardiovascular conditions are very important. Your brain is nourished by one of your body's richest networks of blood vessels. So anything that damages blood vessels anywhere in your body can damage blood vessels in your brain, depriving brain cells of vital food and oxygen. You can help protect your brain with some of the following strategies that protect your heart. Don't smoke. Take steps to keep your blood pressure, cholesterol, and blood sugar within the recommended limits, and maintain a healthy weight. So all this about blood vessels and exercise and all that kind of stuff, this is the newest frontier in approaching dementia. And so the newest approach now is promoting good behaviors. Hey, public health. So these good behaviors include diet, exercise, and cognitive exercises, little brain games. And so the site that I pulled a lot of this information from noted that the path to effective new treatments for dementia is through increasing research funding and increasing participation in clinical studies. So right now, volunteers are urgently needed to participate in more than 180 actively enrolling clinical studies and trials about Alzheimer's and related dementias. So if this is something important to you, then I highly recommend that you enroll in these studies, and I'll put show notes, I'll include in the show notes a link to how you can enroll in these studies. So that was a lot about the disease of dementia and factors about it, what you can do to help it, what you can do to fight it. I mentioned earlier that inappropriate sexual activity is associated as a symptom of dementia. And so as a healthcare provider, you kind of have to figure out what you do to respond to that, because obviously it's not appropriate, but at the same time, it's from a disease. It's not necessarily coming from the person themselves. And I was reading an article from Toronto about this subject. People who put together this article, which I'll include in the show notes, they found that health practitioners in the area often respond in punishing ways to sexual activity, specifically talking about residents in senior care homes. So when we see people living with dementia and sex linked in the media, it tends to be in high-profile cases of alleged abuse. One example is the trial of Henry Rayhorns, an Iowa lawmaker found not guilty of sexually abusing his wife, who at the time was living with dementia in a nursing home. And another example of when dementia and sex was in the media was a series of sexual assaults in nursing homes in Ontario, and there was an investigation looking into that. So obviously, abuses and negatives tend to be the outliers that media focuses on. But, you know, what are the rights of people with dementia? So the sexuality is something that needs to be addressed, because the sexualities of people living with dementia are considered troubling. As noted earlier, one of the best ways that we can prevent dementia is living a healthy lifestyle. And like it or not, sex is part of a healthy lifestyle. Lastly, what I wanted to touch on with dementia was the movie Still Alice, which I watched recently, starring Julianne Moore as Alice, who was progressively through the movie facing symptoms of Alzheimer's and eventually gets the disease all the way. And the movie tracks her regression through the disease and also how it impacted not only her, but also her family. And so before I watched the movie, and really before I started putting the research together for this episode, I hadn't really considered just how the disease impacts other people, in particular, the weight that it puts on both the person experiencing dementia and their family members, because genetics is a role in how likely you are to have dementia. So that can put a lot of weight on a person who has it, and can also put a lot of weight on that person's family members. You know, there are tests that you can do, and actually they talked a little bit about this test in the movie Still Alice. So if you know your parents or you have dementia in your family, it could be important to look into the tests because something I hadn't really thought about before this movie, actually, and I see that this is confirmed in some of the other websites that I use to pull together information. Educated people have a harder time because they find intuitive ways to get around their problems that they're facing from the symptoms of dementia before they reach out to healthcare professionals. So early diagnosis and information and treatment from a healthcare provider is very important. As noted earlier, a lot of the risk factors with dementia include a lot of healthy body kind of stuff. So diabetes, hypertension, obesity, physical inactivity, low educational attainment, just being a healthy person can help prevent it. And so if you're someone who is facing these problems and you're finding ways to get around your problems rather than address it with a doctor, you could be doing a lot more harm to yourself and your family because your family members may have that increased chance of getting dementia and you're preventing them from doing what they need to do on their end to help themselves. And talking again about the weight of having dementia, so Julianne Moore's character in Still Alice, she was a professor who was respected for her education and knowledge. And after she found out she had the disease, she didn't know what the next thing that she'll forget would be. And I can't imagine living through like that. You know, you have something wrong with you, but there's very little you can do about it. And everything that's important to you, you're going to forget. You're no longer going to have that anymore. And that's just really sad. All right, before we go, I just wanted to give an update on the Better Care Reconciliation Act, aka Obamacare Repeal and Replacement, aka Trump Care. What's the status of the bill? What's going on with it? Or as T.I. would say, where they at? No. All right, so as of Sunday, July 9th, Senate Republicans are struggling to put together the bill. And there's a couple of factors here. So what's turning out to be a very important factor in the lack of support with the bill and the lack of Republicans getting around the bill was that the base of the bill was put together in a largely secretive process, which excluded many legislative people. In particular, it excluded many Republicans. So many of them feel disengaged from the bill and do not feel really the energy or the need to get behind it. One person in particular is having mixed emotions about Trump Care, and wouldn't you know that, that's Trump himself. So the president hasn't been able to rally the base to get behind the bill, and he's put out many contradictory statements. On the one hand, he'll say that the bill is great, and it's the best healthcare bill you'll see. And then on the other hand, it let loose that he called the bill mean. I'm not really sure that it got let loose or if, you know, classic Trump, he wasn't really caring who was listening to what he was saying. The gist here is that no one with a large public format will get behind the bill and support it. And it, you know, from the public's perspective, it's looking like the GOP has a lot of infighting over the bill. And wouldn't you know it, they are. Even to the extent that today, earlier today, once again, today is when I say today may not be your today. Today, for me, talking to you right now, is Sunday, July 9th. So earlier today, Senators John McCain and Bill Cassidy from Arizona and Louisiana, respectively, both said the Trump Care bill is dead. Strong words. According to the Business Insider, Trump Care has 17% support from U.S. voters. That's a pretty stark number considering that Trump's base, the Trump cult, is associated as being roughly 30% of America. Many governors are pushing their state senators to change or kill the bill. For example, Nevada Governor Brian Sandoval is pushing the Nevada senator, who I believe is named Dean Heller, to kill the bill or change it to something that's a little bit more positive. So Brian Sandoval, in a public statement, cited the rolling back of Medicaid subsidies as a big problem for him in supporting the bill. He needs something better than just rolling back the Medicaid subsidies. He needs some money, man. Show me the money. Other governors, including John Kasich, cite the bill not doing enough for drug rehabilitation. Mitch McConnell, in response to this, actually, has a proposal out there to include $45 billion over 10 years for drug abuse. Mitch McConnell hopes to reconcile the Better Care Reconciliation Act to a vote within 2 weeks. Reconciling the lots of reconciling. It's important to note that Mitch McConnell can only afford two defectors to get the bill through, and he has stated that if the bill doesn't pan out, he will try negotiating with Democrats to shore up insurance markets. So that's essentially where the bill is at right now. And if you look into the bill and some of the press about healthcare in general, you'll see that many GOP and many legislation, Congress and Senate, a lot of them are looking past this Trump Care bill proposal. Basically, they're looking to see what they can do if the bill doesn't pass. Let's see what we can do to help the healthcare market beyond the bill. That's the status update. That's where they at, though. I want to thank everyone very much for listening, and that's a wrap. No, I'm a mamu.
You're a mamu?
Yeah. Are you a monkey?
I don't want to be a monkey. I want to be a pig.